नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग from the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Knowledge of the Absolute. So, Krishna, I mean, I'm not going to recap the whole chapter. We have done it quite a few times now. So I will start somewhere from the middle. So Krishna talks about how Tirbhir Gunamayer Bhaver Ebis Sarvam Idam Mohitam Navijanati Mamebhya Paramavyayam. How being covered by the three modes, it is very difficult for people to perceive Krishna. And how these three modes cover, you know, he will discuss little later that we had discussed before. But he says that being covered by the three modes, one cannot see Krishna, understand Krishna. Mohidam nabijanati mamebhya paramavyam. They cannot understand that. Even though I appear in a human form, I am transcendental to all these material body, material emotions and everything. And then he says that Daivi Yesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Duratyaya Mameve Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. So this Gunamayi Maya, Maya which is made of the three modes, its influence is very, very difficult to overcome. Mamevaye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. But if anyone surrenders to me, then they can easily overcome the influence of Maya. So then the question arises. So all intelligent people understanding this would definitely surrender to you, O Krishna. He says, no. Namam duskritino muda prapadyante naradama. Mayaya apaharita jnana asuram bhavam ashritaha. So he says that actually kritinaha means intelligent. Dushkritinaha means those who are falsely intelligent, which means those whose intelligence is not guided by the shastras. Those whose intelligence is not guided by the shastras, such people are called dushkritinaha. So they do not surrender to Krishna. Okay. And there are four categories of these people. So the four are Muda, Naradama, Maya Parita Jnana, and Asuram Bhavamashrita. So Muda are those who are just outright, they do not know anything about the Shastras, they do not have, they are just interested in enjoying in this material world. Such people do not surrender. And Naradamaha are the lowest of them because they had faith in devotional service, but eventually due to offenses, they give up the process of devotional service and slip back into material life. So such people are considered to be very unfortunate. And the third are Mayaya Abharita Jnana. Those people who accept the Shastras, but whose understanding of the Shastras is twisted by their own speculations. Okay. And so the Mayavadis and others fall within this category. And then there is Asuram Bhavam Ashrita. Those who have just taken shelter of the mood of Asuras and they just want to hurt Krishna, kill Krishna. So outright atheistic people who want to get rid of the Lord. You know, they are Asuram Bhavam Ashrita. So these four kinds of people whose intelligence is not guided by the Shastras, they do not surrender to Krishna. On the other hand, then who surrenders to Krishna? He says, Chaturvidha Vajante Mam Jana Sukritino Arjuna Arto Jigyasur Artharthi Jnani Cha Bharatarshava. So he says, while Dushkritinas, those whose intelligence is not guided by the Shastras, they surrender to Krishna. But Dushkriti, but Sukritinas, whose intelligence is guided by the Shastras, they surrender to Krishna. And in them, and in that category, there are four kinds of people who fall within that category. Artho, Jigyasur, Artharthi, and Jnani. Okay. Artha is one who wants wealth. Jigyasu is one who wants, and Artharthi is one who wants wealth. Artha is one who is suffering. And Jigyasu is one who is not satisfied with short-term solutions for these two. He wants long-term solutions. Okay. And Jnani is one, is a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. The first three are Karma Mishra Bhaktas. Jnani is a Jnana Mishra Bhakta who is not aspiring after liberation. And but at the same time, he wants Krishna only, but he wants a very peripheral relationship with Krishna, not a very deep-rooted relationship. Because his past practice of Jnana influences his aspiration to have a very very peripheral relationship with Krishna. I mean, he is convinced of a relationship with Krishna, but so therefore he attains what is called a Shantarati in Vaikuntha. Okay. So these four categories of people surrender to Krishna, these are Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas, predominantly devotees. But their practice is tinged with some kind of karma and jnana. The first three are Karma Mishra Bhaktas. They attain Salokya Mukti. And the jnani is the Jnana Mishra Bhakta who attains Shantarati, which is considered to be superior to Salokya Mukti. Tesham Jnanite Yukta Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate Priyohi Jnanino Atyartam Aham Sachamama Priyaha. So then Krishna says that of the four, Jnani is the best. Okay. Because he is Nitya Yukta, he is constantly engaged in thinking of me. Eka Bhaktir. Eka Bhaktir means he is engaging in bhakti alone. This means he says that he, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur gives two different explanations for Eka Bhakti. Eka Bhakti means predominance of bhakti, okay, not like not predominance of jnana. So because he is called as jnani, just because he is called as jnani does not mean he practices jnana, but his practice has a predominance of bhakti. Okay, tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyate. Okay, or eka bhakti can also mean he has great attachment to the process of bhakti alone. And he is called as a jnani only in name, you know, like that. So these are the two explanations that, and Krishna says, priyohi jnanino atyartam aham sachamama priyaha. He holds me very dear and I also hold him very dear to me, like that Krishna says. Udara sarvaye vaite jnani to atmaiva mematam astitas sahi uttamam ameva nuttamam gatim. So he says that, of course, all this Artho, Artharthi, Jigyasu, all three of them are also very magnanimous souls. But the Jnani is my soul. He is as good as my soul, as good as myself. Because he is convinced that I am the highest goal. Unlike the others, he does not want to achieve anything else through me, but he wants to achieve me. Therefore, I consider him as good as myself. And later, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur says that, but when Krishna talks about this Jnana Mishra Bhakti, he says that the Jnana Mishra Bhakti is as good as me. He talks about the pure devotee, he says, the pure devotee is even better than me. Mad Bhakta Puja Abhyadika. In so many other such verses, he says that, a pure devotee is better than even me, even myself. And then he says, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlaba. He says that this Jnana Mishra Bhakta, he can actually become a Shuddha Bhakta. And here it says, Bahunam Janmanamante, after many, many lifetimes. But one should not take this as after many, many lifetimes, he will automatically become Ashuddha Bhakta. It is not an automatic thing. So generally what this means is to become a pure devotee requires that kind of Sukriti, which may take many lifetimes to accumulate. But for that, it is not necessary that someone has to be a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. Even if one is a Karma Mishra Bhakta or a Karma Yogi or a Jnana Yogi or an Ashtanga Yogi, or he may not be practicing any kind of spiritual practices, even he can accumulate Ajnata Sukriti over many lifetimes and take up to devotional service. So even though the word Bahuna Manamante is indicated, it's seemingly suggesting that, oh, if a Jnana Mishra Bhakta after many lifetimes automatically becomes a Shuddha Bhakta, but this is not the fact. Okay. This we saw. And then, in this series, he talks about those surrender to Krishna. Then the question arises, then why do some people surrender to the demigods? Kamai staister hridagyanaha prapadyante narat prapadyante anya devata tamtam niyama mastaya prakritya niyata svaya. So he says that some people who are swa prakritya niyataha, while others were sukritinaha, those whose intelligence were guided by shastras, but there are other classes of people who are guided by their own nature, swa prakritya niyataha. And such people, prapadyante anya devata, and they worship the other devatas. To taistair kamaihi, in order to fulfill their own material desires, and therefore they have become foolish. They have become foolish. Their intelligence is not guided by shastras. They are guided only by their own swabhava. Okay. Yo yam yam tanum bhaktam shraddayar chichati. Tasya tasya achalam shraddam tameva vidadamyaham. Krishna says that, whomever I observe that they have an inclination to worship some demigods or someone, make their faith very firm to worship that demigod. Okay. Sataya shraddaya yuktas tasya radhanam ihate labate chatatak kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. And when these people endowed with the faith that I have given to them, they worship the demigod. And when they worship the demigod and ask for some benediction, through that demigod, I only fulfill their desires. The demigods do not have the ability to independently fulfill those desires also. Only fulfill their desires. And in this way, their faith in the demigod is protected. Antavattu phalam tesham tadbhavat yalpamedasam devan devayajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. But the problem is that the results obtained by these demigod worshippers is very temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the abodes of the demigods, and those who worship me come to my abode. Avyaktimapannam manyante mam abuddayaha param bhavam ajananto mamavyayam anuttamam. And there are other classes of people who also have misguided intelligence. So these are people who are Mayavadis, who consider that the absolute truth is the impersonal Brahman, and Krishna, Rama, Narasimha, and the other avatars, when they appear, they all have a body which is made of matter and illusory. Like that they understand. They don't have an understanding of transcendental form, transcendental qualities, etc. So when the Lord appears with form and qualities, they think that this is all made of matter and illusory, like that. Okay. So then Krishna says, Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavata mudoyam nabijanati lokomam ajamavyayam. So he says that actually, what I speak of ordinary people of this world, even my perfected devotees sometimes cannot see me completely, because from them I am covered by my yoga maya. What to speak of the ordinary people, They are covered by my Mahamaya. And being covered by my Mahamaya, they do not understand that I, even though appearing just like an ordinary baby from Vasudeva and Devaki or Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, but I do not have any kind of ordinary material birth. But these people cannot understand this truth about myself. So, then he says, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna, bhavishyani chabhutani mamtu vedana kaschana. I know all things in the present and future. I know everything, but no one knows me properly. So Krishna says that, yes, others are covered by my Maya, but I am not covered by Maya. Because Maya is under my control. Mayam chatad apashrayam. Maya has taken my shelter. Maya cannot cover me. So, that's what he says. And then he says, Icha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. So, what is this curtain of Mahamaya that covers ordinary people of this world? What is this curtain of Mahamaya made of? So, there are five aspects of covering: avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, and abhinivesh. So, these five things we did last time. Right? Avidya means mental vasanas or material impressions from past lives. And asmita means, attachment to current body, that aspect of Maya which makes us completely forget the impressions that we have accumulated in other bodies in our previous lives. Okay, so that we perfectly, identify only with the current body. That is asmita. Then this idea leads to raga and dvesha. Now, some experiences are good, and we are attached, and some experiences are bad and we hate them. So this is raga and dvesha, and this raga and dvesha subsequently becomes raga abhinivesh and dvesha abhinivesh, and intense absorption in hatred and attraction. Okay, so this complete absorption in trying to enjoy what we like, and complete absorption in trying to run away from what we don't like, this absorption keeps us busy in this material world. And because of being busy, even though the Supreme Lord is there, but we cannot see Him. So this is the kind of curtain that the Supreme Lord has created. The curtain which keeps us busy and engaged in this virtual reality so that we don't get to see the Supreme Lord. So this is the kind of curtain, and we had a long discussion on this last time. Right? But yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva mohanita bhajante mam dridavrata. So Krishna says, yesham tu. So people are covered by this Maya, but there are some people, antagatam papam. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti and Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan gives a slightly different explanation for these verses. Of course, there are many other verses for which the Acharyas give slightly different explanations. But here, this is one verse where they have given different explanations. He says, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, those whose sins have been destroyed by pious acts and being free of the ignorance arising from the duality by worshipping me, they then worship me with determination. Okay. In the explanation, he says, then who is qualified for bhakti? This verse answers. Okay. Those who have punya karma, who have destroyed sins partially, develop a predominance of sat and diminished tamoguna. Okay. So when someone takes up to a predominantly pious life, then it enhances the sattva and subdues the rajo and tamoguna. The result of enhanced sattva is subduing of illusion. And when illusion gets subdued, they become less and less attached to things of this world. And after that, they may have chance association with devotees. But that has nothing to do with their prior performance of Punya Karma and then subduing of Rajoguna and Tamog, then Sattvaguna becoming prominent and decrease of illusion. None of this. Someone may be deeply entrenched in abject Tamoguna. Still, such people can come in touch with devotees and they can attain Agyata Sukriti and they can take up to devotional service. Okay. This has, so association with devotees has nothing to do with Esham to Antagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam, etc. So, but because of a pious lifestyle, since they have already destroyed lot of sinful tendencies and inclinations, subsequently by the association of devotees, when they take up to devotional service, there is significant anarthanavritti which has already accomplished by living a pious lifestyle. So therefore, he has to do very little to accomplish that anarthanavritti. Then when they take up to devotional service and practice bhakti, very quickly they attain anarthanavritti. Then what comes is nishta. Nishta is dhrida vrata bhajan. Firm, unflinching practice of devotional service. That is how Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains this verse. So this is how nishta. Srila Baldev Deva Bhushan gives a different explanation for this verse. He says, Esham to antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvamoha nirmukta bhajante mam dhrida vrataha. So he says that, literally translated, it means punya karma leads to antagatam papam. Antagatam papam leads to dvandvamoha nirmukta. Dvandvamoha nirmukta leads to dridavrata bhajan. This is what the verse says. So now, Srila Baldev Deva Bhushan explains, what is this punya karma? He says, oh, punya karma means pious activities, and punya karma can mean pleasing activities. So here, punya karma means pleasing activities, activities which are pleasing to devotees and Krishna. And what activity is pleasing to devotees and Krishna? Bhakti. So therefore, punya karmanam means bhakti. So when someone practices bhakti or bhajana kriya, then what happens? Antagatam papam. Antagatam papam refers to destruction of sinful inclinations and tendencies. This is called as anarthanavritti. So bhajana kriya leads to anarthanavritti. So when anarthanavritti is happening, what is the symptom of anarthanavritti? Dvandva moha nirmukta, a gradual subduing of our being affected by the dualities of this material world. Happy, distress, pain, pleasure, all these dvandva moha nirmukta. One becomes freed from the illusions of dualities to the extent anarthanavritti is accomplished. So then when there is significant anarthanavritti that has been accomplished, then what happens? Dhrida vrata bhajan. Dhrida vrata bhajan means very firm, fixed practice of devotional service. This is called as da. Okay. So according to Baldev Deva Bhushan, this verse indicates that how do you overcome the kartana hamaya, which is made of avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, and abhinivesh. He says, take up to the, if someone takes up to the path of bhakti, okay, so which is called as punya karmanam, shrinvatam swakata krishna punya shravana kirtanam, tantasto hi abhadrani vidunoti suritsatam nashta prayesh abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So these two verses is actually summarized in this one verse of Bhagavad Gita. By practice of, but if someone takes up to bhakti and practices bhajana kriya leads to anarthanavritti, anarthanavritti leads to nishta, firm fixed practice of devotional service. And that firm fixed practice of devotional service eventually leads to bhava and prema, at which one realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead and one's own relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the way we can know Krishna. So that is the way of knowing the absolute truth, which he is talking about in this 7.28 verse. येषां तु अन्तगतं पापं जनानां पुण्यकर्मणां ते द्वन्द्वमोहनिर्मुक्ता भजन्ते मां दृढव्रताः. सो दिस् इस् वेर् वि एण्डेड् अवर् डिस्कशन् लास्ट् फ्रैडे. सो बिफोर् वि कण्टिन्यू दिस् फर्दर् इफ् देर् आर् एनी क्विक् डिस्कशन् पायिण्ट्स् कामेण्ट्स् क्वश्चन्स् एनिथिङ्ग् एनिवन् वुड् लैक् टु शेर् एस् एण्ड् बेस्ड् आन् वाट् वि कवर्ड् लास्ट् वीक् आर् वाट् एवर् वि हव् समरैस्ड् टुडे वि केन् टेक् any quick questions, comments, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, you can either type in the chat box or raise your hands, whatever you feel comfortable. Okay, if there is none, then we will continue with our discussion. Okay, so we have two more verses in this chapter of 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna continues. He says, just give me one second. Okay, Krishna says, jara marana mokshaya mama shritya yatantiye te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyatmam karma chakilam. He says, ye, those yogis who mam ashritya, taking shelter of me, jara marana mokshaya yatanti, strive for freedom from birth and death. Okay, so we saw there are three categories of devotees. Okay, you can say three categories of devotees are Vedic practitioners. There are only three types of bona fide Vedic practitioners. Who are they? So Srila Vishnu Chakradarko gives them the names as Gunibhuta Bhaktas, Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas, and Shuddha Bhaktas. There are only three bona fide categories of Vedic practitioners. Okay, and the demigod worshippers will fall in the sort of peripheral practitioners. They are not exactly, they don't have a faith which is guided by the shastras. Okay, so they don't have a faith which is guided by the shastras. They have a faith which is guided by their own experience. Okay, Krishna calls it as swabhavajam shraddha, a kind of faith which is guided by their own experience, swabhava. So such people are demigod worshippers. So they are peripheral worshippers, forget about them. So in essence, bona fide practitioners are of three types: the Gunibhuta Bhaktas, okay, who are actually karma yogis, jnana yogis, ashtanga yogis, who actually practice a process where bhakti is secondary. Okay, so this karma yogis, jnana yogis, ashtanga yogis, they accept the form of Krishna, they worship the form of Krishna or any other Vishnu tattva, but that worship is subdued, secondary to their practice of karma jnana yoga. So therefore they are called as karma yogis, jnana yogis, ashtanga yogis. About them, Krishna has already described in the first six chapters. Okay, so in third chapter he spoke about, third and fourth chapters he talks about Sakama Karma Yoga and Nishkama Karma Yoga. In fifth chapter he talks about Jnana Yoga, and in sixth chapter he talks about Ashtanga Yoga. So this is all Gunibhuta Bhakti, where Bhakti is secondary, Karma Jnana Yoga is primary. And then there are Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas, who are Karma Mishra Bhaktas, Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, Yoga Mishra Bhaktas. Okay, so this is a practice in which bhakti is predominant. Bhakti is pradhanya. Okay, and Karma Jnana Yoga, there are tinges, they become secondary. So these kind of devotees are described in the middle six chapters, and Shuddha Bhaktas are also described in the middle six chapters. Okay, so in this Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas, we already saw Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritino Juna. Artho Jigyasu Artharthi Jnani Chabarta Rishabha. Artho Artharthi Jigyasu have already been mentioned. They have some primary motives. Okay, of I want to get rid of my suffering. I want some material comforts, and I am inquisitive to know more and all that. But once those desires get fulfilled, because of the predominance of their practice of bhakti, they attain Vaikuntha. They attain Vaikuntha and they attain Salokya Mukti. Okay. And the Jnanamishra Bhaktas, they are not worshipping the Lord for liberation. They worship the Lord to establish a sort of relationship with Krishna. So they get that relationship in the form of Shantarati. But there are some people who are also Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas, who worship the Supreme Lord aspiring for liberation. So these are mokshakamis who want moksha. With moksha in their mind, they worship Krishna. So that is mentioned here. Jara marana mokshaya yatanti. Those yogis, mama ashritya, by taking shelter of me, jara marana mokshaya yatanti. They strive for freedom from birth and death. Okay. This is another kind of Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas. Okay. And such people take Kritsnam Viduhu. Kritsnam means completely. Viduhu means they know. They completely know Tad. Tad refers to Brahman. And Brahma refers to the Jiva. Tattvam Asi. Tad is Brahman. Tvam, you Jiva, Asi. You are that Brahman. That is how they explain. But our understanding is different. Tattvam Asi means you are also Brahman-like. Qualitative oneness. Okay. So they know about the Brahman. They know about the Jiva. Adhyatmam. They know about the nature of rebirth of the Jiva. Karmacha Akilam. Due to the influence of karma. Te Brahma Tadviduk Krishnam Adhyatmam Karmachakilam. So such people who are Muktikamis, they know completely about the nature of Brahman, the nature of Jiva, how the Jiva gets rebirth due to the influence of karma. All of that they know. Okay. That's what here he says. Srila Vishnu Chakradakur commenting on this, he says, it has been said that the three types of Sakama Bhaktas who worship me become successful, but the worshippers of Devata who are also Sakama, they fail. Okay. So the three types of Sakama Bhaktas are Artha, Jigyasu, and Artharthi. Okay. So they become successful. They attain it and they attain those intermediate benefits and eventually attain Salokya Mukti. Okay. But the worshippers of Devata, they fail in the sense they don't get any transcendental benefits. Okay. Those who are not qualified for worshipping the Lord have also been described. Now, the Lord speaks about a fourth type of Sakama Bhakta. Who is this fourth type of Sakama Bhakta? Those yogis who strive to destroy old age and death. Jara Marana Mokshaya Yatanti. Who desire liberation, the Mokshakami, and consequently worship me, know all about the famous Brahman, the Lord. Okay. Note. His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj's footnote here, he says, Brahman will be defined as Akshara in verse 3 of the next chapter. Aksharam Brahma Paramam Swabhavo Adhyatma Muchyate, like that. And Akshara will be defined as Narayana in verse 21 of 8th chapter. Okay. They know about the Jiva, present as the controller of the body, Adhyatmam. Adhyatmam is the Jiva. And the repeated bodies of the Jiva generated from all types of karma, karma, karma akilam, due to the power of devotion to me. Because they have predominant devotion, they are also Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas, where in their practice they have a predominance of devotion. By the power of that devotion, they know about these subject matters. They know about Brahman, they know about the Jiva, they know about the transmigration of the Jiva due to karma, and all of that, they know that. Okay. So, and then, then in the final verse of this chapter, Krishna says, Sadi Bhutadi Daivam Mam Sadi Yagyam Chaye Viduhu Prayana Kale Pichamam Te Vidur Yukta Chetasaha. So he says, Ye Mam Viduhu, those who know me, Sa Adibhutaha. Sa means along with. And Adibhutaha means matter. Those who know me along with matter, okay, those who know me along with matter, ye mam adidaivam viduhu, and those who know me as the controller of the devas, daivam means devatas, adidaivam means controller of the devatas, sa adiyagnyam chaye viduhu, and those who know my presence in the sacrifice as the yajna book, Bhoktaram Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Right. Those who know me, know my presence in the sacrifice. Yukta Chetasaha. Yukta means fixed. Chetasaha means knowledge. Fixed in knowledge. Te mam viduhu. They know me. Prayana Kale Api. Even at the time of death, such people know me. So he says, because he says that those who know me along with matter, ye mam viduhu sa adibhutaha, along with matter, ye mam adidaivam viduhu, those who know me as the controller of the devatas, sa adiyagyam cha ye viduhu, and those who know my presence in the sacrifice, such people, yukta chetasaha, fixed in knowledge, Te mam viduhu prayana kale api. And such people know me even at the time of death. Okay. So, what is Krishna telling here? So, Srila Vishwanatha Jagadakur explains. He says that those who develop such knowledge of me by the influence of devotion to me maintain that knowledge even at the time of death. So, Krishna says, Bhaktyamam abhijanati. Bhaktyaham ekaya grahyaha. So one can attain or understand Krishna only by devotion. Now, what does it mean to understand Krishna? What does it mean to understand Krishna? To understand Krishna means that understand how Krishna is the controller of matter also as the Atma. And knowing how Krishna is the controller of the devas also, and how Krishna is the actual bhokta of the sacrifice also. So such people fixed in knowledge. So if their knowledge is fixed while living, then while leaving also, their knowledge is similarly fixed. While leaving this world also, their knowledge is similarly fixed. Okay. So those who develop such knowledge of me by the influence of devotion to me, maintain that knowledge even at the time of death. So it is not like the intelligence of others established by karma, which varies according to the future body. In the next body, if their prarabdha karma is different, accordingly they will get an intelligence. In this body, according to their current prarabdha karma, they will get a particular type of intelligence. In fact, in their next body, they may get a totally different type of intelligence because they may get a totally different species only. They may take birth in a different species. So they will have a different type of intelligence. Right? So that is defined by karma. So the terms Adibhuta, Adideva, and Adiyajna will be explained in the next chapter. Even though the explanation of these words is given by the Acharyas, but Krishna himself is not explaining these terminologies. Therefore, Arjuna will seek clarification. What are these things? What is this Adibhuta, Adiyajna, Adideva? What are these things? He says, the devotees alone enumerated as six types. What are the six types of devotees? These types are the three types of Sakama devotees, Artha, Jigyasu, and Artharthi, these three mentioned in verse 16. The Mokshakama Bhakta mentioned in verse 29. The Nishkama Jnanamishra Bhakta mentioned as Jnani in verse 16. And Kevala Bhakta mentioned in verse 1. Mayasaktamana Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya. Who know the truth about the Lord, they cross over Maya. So the six types of Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas. They cross over Maya. Okay. Not Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas, six type of Bhaktas. Okay. So who are the six types? Artharthi, Jigyasu. So these are Karma Mishra Bhaktas. Then there is the Jnani, who is Jnana Mishra Bhakta. Then there is the Moksha Kama Bhakta. Which is, who is mentioned in the 29th verse, 7.29. Jara Marana Mokshaya Mama Shritye Tantiye. And the sixth is Kevala Bhakta. Pure devotional. Pure devotee, who is mentioned in 7.1. So all these kinds of devotees, they understand Krishna and cross over Maya. This has been presented as the meaning of the chapter. This is the meaning of the chapter. Okay. Like that. So that is what is explained here. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add. There are some questions in the chat box. So I will first start taking those questions. In the meantime, if anyone would like to formulate your questions and you may wish to ask, you can always raise your hands or type your questions in the chat box, whatever you feel comfortable. Okay, first question. How to cross Antagatam path to Dvandva Moha Nirmukta and then only Dridavrata Bhajan. Okay. So, Antagatam Papam here refers to destruction of material desires and material anarthas. That is Antagatam Papam. How is Antagatam Papam accomplished? Antagatam Papam is accomplished by Jananam Punyakarmanam. Punyakarma means what? Devotional service. When devotional service is performed, then what happens? Antagatam papam. Antagatam papam means destruction of sinful desires and sinful vasanas. When that destruction happens, then what happens? Dvandva moha nirmukta. The influence of dualities gets subdued. The more there are anarthas, the more is the influence of dualities. When lust or greed will torture us more, when lust or greed is very, very prominent, then the dualities will also affect us very much. Then we will derive great pleasure when there is the object of sense gratification. And in the absence of the object of sense gratification, we will suffer severely. So the influence of dualities will be more and more, will be greater to the extent we are troubled by the anarthas. So when antagatam papam is accomplished, when anartha nivritti is accomplished, automatically dvandva moha will become less. Then one reaches the stage of nishta, which is actually dridavrata bhajan, bhajante mam dridavrata, like that. Okay, next question is, could you please summarize the previous question? Okay, so previous verse, I think, right? Could you please summarize the previous one? Previous one is 7.29. So 7.29 talks about the next type of pradhani bhuta bhakti, which is called as moksha kama. So he is talking about those who take shelter of Krishna, striving for freedom from birth and death. Because the Jnana Mishra Bhakta, we saw that he was aspiring for a relationship with Krishna. And here he is basically aspiring for moksha. And such people, they attain moksha because by the path of, by the influence of predominant bhakti, they know about the nature of Brahman, the jiva, the rebirth of the jiva due to the influence of karma. And therefore, knowing this, they engage in bhakti and avoid being entangled in the grips of karma, like that. So therefore, it is mentioned that they know this. Okay, like that. Okay, there is some more questions here. Need we train ourselves not to desire to leave this world of suffering? Is that the same as desiring moksha? Well, the purpose is not to leave this world. The purpose is to please Krishna. And if someone pleases Krishna, automatically one will escape the sufferings of this world. So therefore, one need not separately endeavor for that. When the purpose of our practice of bhakti becomes to escape suffering of this world, when that becomes our sadhya, our goal, then we are mixed devotees. But if our aim is to please Krishna, then automatically we also escape the sufferings of this material world. That is automatically accomplished. It's an unsought result, like that. So therefore, should we train ourselves not to desire to leave this world of suffering? Well, I mean, no. We have to train ourselves to please Krishna. That's all. Okay. So then rest everything is taken care of. From the verse, Esham to Antagatam Papam, is it being said that Punya can balance or reduce Papa reactions? No. What it means is, here in this, if you accept, according to Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan's explanation, Punya Karma actually refers to devotional service. And Antagatam Papam refers to Anarthanavritti. So, and Vrata Bhajan refers to Nishta. So, according to Baldev Vidya Bhushan's explanation, this verse says that perform bhakti, accomplish anarthanavritti and reach nishta. That's what this verse talks about. So punya has nothing to do with pious activities at all. Otherwise, do pious activities offset Papa, no. For pious activities, you get pious reactions. For impious activities, you get impious reactions. So they do not cross together. But what this verse suggests, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, is that a pious lifestyle can protect one from for accumulation of sinful reactions. That is something this verse is definitely suggesting, that if you accept a pious lifestyle where you are protecting yourself from the kind of sinful activities, then definitely that helps you escape the accumulation of future sinful reactions. That is something that is being suggested here. Next question. Is Shantarati the same as Shantarasa? No. Shantarasa is at the stage of Prema. Shantarati is at the stage of Bhava. It is in the preliminary stage. So Prema is a much more condensed form of Bhava. Rati means Bhava. The preliminary stage Prema, that is called as Rati. So therefore, Shantarati refers to the stage of Bhava only and not Prema. Can we recognize what type of bhakti are we so that we can improve ourselves in the path of Shuddha Bhakti? Yes, we can do that. What I will do is you can write to me and I will share a series of 4 sessions which I took in trying to understand, is our practice of bhakti pure or not? Are we Pradhani Bhaktas? Are we Gunibhuta Bhaktas? Are we Shuddha Bhaktas? What kind of devotees are we? So how do we identify? You know, I took a workshop, 4 sessions. I will share it in the group. I will highly recommend that you listen to that workshop. And say listen, I strongly suggest act. Actively listen, because it is a workshop, which means when I am suggesting do this, you are listening to it, you should actually do it. Okay, so I will share it in the group. So kindly go over it, kindly go over it, and it will be very, very helpful. Well, actually, I cannot share it in the group. I may not share it in the group. Okay, I will share it in the group. No problem. Okay, I will share it in the group. So kindly, you can hear it. And I would strongly suggest that you hear it, actually. Because this lays a very strong foundation to understand what is it that we are practicing. Because trust me, there is lot of misconception on this very basic topic. What is it that we are practicing? Because most people think, are we practicing pure devotional service? If I am practicing pure devotional service, am I a pure devotee? Or am I practicing mixed devotional service? All these kinds of doubts we have. So it is very, very important that we understand what is it that we are practicing. I will share it in the group. Please take your time to listen to these series of 4 sessions. Very, very useful. Okay. Now, yes, Keshav Priya Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranams. Prabhuji, the 729 shloka, no Prabhuji, you are telling the second type of Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas. No, Prabhuji.
Not second type. This is, you can say, I mean, whatever. For the first 3, if we, in the order in which it was presented, if you are talking about Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas, 5 types of Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas were presented. One is Artho, Artharthi, Jigyasu, Jnani, and this 5th type. This is Jara Maranamo. The fifth type which was mentioned.
Prabhuji, Gunibhuta Bhakta also they aim for moksha only. No, Prabhuji, why you call these people as Pradhanibhuta Bhaktas?
Because in their practice there is predominance of bhakti.
Oh. The taking shelter of me because of that line, Prabhuji?
Yes.
Mama Shri. Oh, that's what I was like. Gunibhuta Bhakta also aim for moksha only, but you strongly said it is Pradhanibhuta Bhaktas. That's why I want to talk.
Yeah.
And Prabhuji, this flow of this seventh chapter, Prabhuji, after like Devi Asa Gunamai, one can cross the Maya, only one who surrenders to me. So to explain that only after 7:14, all the shlokas is to explain who and all surrenders to him. Is it Prabhuji? Because the final shloka that was given by SVCT, no, Prabhuji, all these six type of devotees can cross the Maya. So we should take the flow like that.
Yeah. So how these six kind of devotees surrender to Krishna and cross over the Maya, which was mentioned in the 7:14. Mamevaye prapadyante maya metantaram, they can cross. So how these people cross, actually that is described here. By how they know Krishna, and by knowing Krishna, they cross over the maya. Like that.
Okay, Prabhuji. And Prabhuji, and in between, he has mentioned about demigod worshippers also. That is not like, they cannot cross over maya, no, Prabhuji, but still he has explained about that three shlokas.
Because they also are engaged in some kind of worship, and they are also worshipping some forms. So what is it? Is that also bona fide? So he says, oh, what type of worship is that? So you should not say wherever worship is involved, such people will cross over the Maya. No. Those who worship me, they will cross over. Some people don't worship me, they will not cross over. Some people seem to worship some other form, like the demigods, they will also not cross over. Some people reject the form only. They will also not cross over. And why these people have these various different kinds of understandings? Because the curtain of Maya is covering them. So, what is the curtain of Maya? Daf, Iccha Dvesha Samuttena, Dvandva Mohena Bharata, Sarva Bhutani Sammoham Sargeyanti Parantapa. How to escape that curtain of Maya? Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam, te dvandva mohanir mukta bhajante mam dridavrata. And subsequently, he summarizes, not exactly summarizes, but he also says, but by the way, there are some people who also worship me for mukti. And they, if their worship is predominant, and such people, they through the effect of their worship of me, they understand the nature of Brahman, they understand the nature of Jiva, they understand what leads to repeated birth and death due to the influence of karma. And by knowing that, and by the strength of their worship of me, they attain moksha also. And therefore, he concludes the seventh chapter in this 30th verse by telling that by practice of bhakti, in this way, you know, either Pradhanibhuta or Kevala Bhakti, as described in this chapter, people know me, they know me as the controller of matter, as the controller of the devatas, and as the controller of the sacrifices. Whatever knowledge they have accumulated by the power of bhakti, either Pradhanibhuta or Kevala, that knowledge will remain with them even at the time of death and even beyond death. Like that. That's how he concludes. Because the chapter itself is knowledge of the absolute. So in the 30th verse, he says that knowledge accumulated or assimilated through the path of bhakti, it will remain with them. That's what is the conclusion of this chapter.
Yeah, Prabhuji, this statement in this last shloka, know me, is like knowing, is it just, it's a generic term, he means a realization, because even we know as of now, Prabhuji, but it's not sure that we will remember him at the time of death. So knowing, is it still deeper? Is it a realization that is they are getting?
Is realization only.
Yeah, so because we also...
So whenever... So if I say, you do MBBS, you can become a doctor. So when I say you do MBBS, it means you not just enroll in your MBBS college, but you attend 5 years and pass the exam and get a degree. That is the meaning of MBBS. So here, no means actually realize, and that realization comes by completion of those processes, whether Pradhani Bhuta or Guni Bhuta Bhakti. So by completion of those processes, what you get is not just knowledge, but realization. That's what it means.
Shuddha Bhakti also, no, Prabhuji?
Yeah, Shuddha Bhakti. Yeah, Pradhani Bhuta or Shuddha Bhakti.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anything else before we move on to the 8th chapter? Okay. So if there are no further discussion points, I think we will pause here today. I don't wish to start a new chapter today. I will let you go to rest early. Let's start a fresh chapter from a fresh week. So next week, we will start with the 8th chapter. Today, you can rest early. Tomorrow, early morning, even I have to leave. I have to travel, so I will also rest early today. So we will end today's session right here. Thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will meet again next Friday to start with the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.